We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, into the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert with you. We'll get to another question of obligation and parenthood from Cody coming up in about 10 minutes or so.
I need more advice from the text line. You guys are helpful sometimes, too. I like the outside kid's perspective.
Well, last week we prevented Cody from intentionally causing his kid to be, slowed down through development, I would say.
No, I would say being dishonest with the public school system is more like it. But
so we'll get to that again in just a little bit and find out what new scenario we have as the text line will try to help you through parenthood as well. But on the Royal Stadium front, this was really interesting from the Kansas City Star yesterday, talking about the timeline for a downtown ballpark. I think we all have come to the realization like that is going to happen. Yes, there has to be a ballot initiative and a vote, but the realization that that's where this thing is heading. And we know the lease is not up for quite some time. So you figured, oh, well, they got some time to figure this thing out. It's going to be closer to 2030 before they're in a new park. Well, maybe not the case. The Kansas City Star laid this out that there's some belief that they could actually be in a new stadium by 2026. This is May of 2022.
Excuse me?
So you're like, wait a second.
Less than 4 years from now?
Which would mean it would be on the ballot like next year in 2023.
And they would need to break ground that same year.
Yeah. That's a very quick timeline, first and foremost. And you're saying, why the rush? If their lease is still up, how are they going to do that? Taxpayers are still paying for the renovations. Well, we know the Chiefs are trying to get either renovations or a new stadium as well. And some of the thought has always been that perhaps if the Royals left, the Chiefs would build on the current Kauffman site. And so if you think about it that way, this makes a little bit more sense. Get one of the tenants out of there, in particular the Royals, to where you would have that flexibility versus if they both were there till 2030 or 2031, obviously it would make the plan of building on the current site very difficult.
I'm not surprised by this. Think about the math on it. You couldn't wait out till 2030 if you're the Royals. Then it doesn't allow the Chiefs part of this plan to take place. The one thing I would say is, why do the Chiefs want to stay at that site? None of the development that either of those teams had been hoping for has ever happened there. I mean, even if you tear up the old stadium, can you build enough stuff on that site together that equates whatever version of it? Because like in this same story from the Kansas City Star, there's some site places, two or three site options that include 18th and Vine and some other areas across town that I think both do and don't make sense depending on what you're, if they're trying to build the battery version, and they've said to have loved that version of the stadium and their complex down in Atlanta.
Explain for those who don't know what the battery
is. It's everything in one. The battery has hotels, shopping. Think of it just like the Legends, but also there's a stadium there. Like they built it all together, kind of like there is with Sporting and all that stuff, but it is an all-inclusive area in which it all exists. That's what the Royals want. Reportedly, that's what the Royals want, and assume that's what the Chiefs would want as well, because in Dallas, in LA, in Inglewood, and all those places, they also have this mixed retail, residential use that kind of goes in everything. The battery has that too, right? A residential component. So I would assume that they're trying to mimic that. I'm a little confused because like there's never been that development, but it just makes sense because like the Chiefs are like, well, you don't move football stadiums downtown.
Right.
So we can stay where we are. The Royals can go out of downtown, and then we have space to stretch out our arms. The 2026 part is a little surprising because that seems quick. Could you imagine there being no more? That would mean that this is what? The third to last season at Kauffman Stadium? We would get the 2022, 2023, 2024, I guess four. So there's like, that's it? There's just four stadiums left at Kauffman Stadium, and then we're
Right.
We're already in a new building. How are they going to get it done that fast? And also, not a great time to ask for a new stadium, by the way. Your team's not playing well.
There's the funding, you know, like for whether it's a brand new Kauffman Stadium that's downtown or a new Arrowhead that's still on the same site or whatever their actual plans are, because the Chiefs haven't been as clear. We know the Royals, their objective, their goal is clearly downtown stadium. We've made assumptions about
where they're going.
Right. We know that's where they're headed.
Yeah.
For the Chiefs, it's a little bit different, though. There's assumptions that everybody's making about, oh, they're going to build it on the same side, or
and
would they move?
And with Kansas.
And all that. So theirs is a little murkier. And perhaps the reason why it's murky is they're trying to figure out what the Royals ultimately, like, when that's a full go. And the timeline makes that interesting as well. To your point about, like, building it up around, this is where some people brought in the idea of what the Patriots have there around in Foxborough, which is essentially there wasn't already an entertainment area there. They built it right next to the stadium, and it's what you know, you could add restaurants and hotels right there on site at the stadium, maybe even a hotel.
So here's the warning I would give the Chiefs on this end is when we approved in Jackson County the stadium upgrades for Kauffman and Arrowhead at that time, they were still talking about building apartments behind Kauffman Stadium.
Right.
They were still pretending like that was something that was going to happen. So there's two ways. Our initial thought, anytime we move downtown, the people who love the idea say, oh, look at all the development that's going to be around there. And they'll show you pictures of like how much more developed some downtown areas are, like Pittsburgh. Look at everything that happened around there as part of the stadium. As a reminder, that's what they thought was going to happen in Houston. You lived in Houston. Is there anything near the Astros Stadium?
Yeah.
But like, yeah. Like on the...
You're talking about the Astros? Maid Park? Yeah, it's right in downtown. Downtown's grown quite a bit. Yeah, there's the whole east side of downtown now. They call it... what is it?
Last time I was there was not much on that side.
They call it Edo or whatever.
Okay,
something like that. The term. Yes, that actually is not a problem. There's plenty of things around the Astros ballpark.
Like there are times in which they say it will build and it doesn't work out quite as well, right? Like where there are examples of we build a downtown state or we build a stadium anywhere and like look at all this development is going to come up and it doesn't always. It seems logical that it would in Kansas City because they seem kind of ripe for it. But I mean, 2026 is you have to like. By the way, by all accounts, the Royals have a couple of sites in mind, already have an architecture firm. One of the best sports architecture firms in the world, obviously, is already in Kansas City.
Multiple ones, yeah.
HOK is probably going to design it. But when you, or has already designed it. But so when you look at the circumstances, we're going to need to start hearing in the next 6 months about a ballot measure for what they would like the public cost for said stadium to be. If they're serious about this Kansas City Star report, that 2026 is an actual guideline for when they're trying to get in this building. That does seem, I thought it might be 27, 28. This still even seems a little ahead of schedule from what I thought it was going to be.
What's the deal here with like baseball having to have great things around it in order, like we don't ever talk about that for football.
I mean, have
stadiums are getting built farther and farther and farther away.
There's 80 games, right? That, I mean, they're 81 games. That's a big part of it. So you're talking about more events, whereas for football, yes, they have concerts and things. For football though, it's your 8 home games.
And it's doing all the events around those things. So it's now we build new Kauffman Stadium. We're going to put a bunch of concerts there. Not just the two or three that go to Kauffman now. We're going to design it as a multi-use space that can do that. You know what else it is, Nick? Shocking, I know. Money. Because guess who will own all of that? Guess who will own all those buildings that those apartments go in? Or the retail? The team.
The citizens?
We'll pay for it. No, that's not how this works.
Well, they pay for it.
Sadly,
should own it.
Yeah, hypothetically, yes. We've gone over this.
Wait a minute. So if we pay for this, we don't have any say over it.
Zero. So they'll own it.
This does not seem like a fair shake. I just don't get
it. Have you not been listening to me about any of this for all this time?
No, because...
About publicly funded stadiums?
Well, because the Rangers just built a brand new stadium out in Arlington by Jerry World.
Yep.
And they have basically turned that complex into like its own little city.
Uh-huh.
Yet, still, nobody goes to Rangers games. So... I just don't... It seems inevitable that this is going to happen... And I don't really care, but also it seems like the whole push that like it needs to happen. You got to do this. You got to put the stadium downtown. It's like, do you really?
No,
is anything really going to change? All of a sudden, is that stadium just going to be packed? Is the downtown all of a sudden going to become this new bustling whatever that it's not? Like, is anything ultimately going to change by having a downtown stadium?
In Atlanta's case, the answer was theirs is in the suburbs. But the answer is yes. they saw sharp, because the thing is, it's just like diversifying your portfolio. They don't want to just make money off the baseball, Nick, because of what you said. What happens on a day game when 2,000 people show up? Will 500 of those go shopping, or all the people who are never going to go to the baseball game but just want to go to where there are things to do, bars, restaurants, food, and are never going to go to a baseball game but will still spend money on an organization which you can make money, they're going to do that. And this is also, sadly, this is the thing you've pointed out multiple times that frustrates me about funding billion-dollar stadiums, because essentially you're being held hostage and you don't have a choice. This is the cost of doing business to own a professional football team. And if you don't want to build it, then they'll just leave. Not just threaten to leave. They'll be like Oakland, and they'll be like, we're going to go to Vegas. Bye. See you later. We wanted a new stadium. We're sick of playing in this bad one. Did you? The other day, there was a possum in their stadium.
Yeah.
It's not shocking. They want to leave. And I don't think Kauffman's a very nice stadium. I've spent many times in the press box. I don't recall seeing a possum. It's not like that. But they are stuck. Their stadiums continue to be stuck in like a weird range of.
Yeah, the tricky part is going to be that we're talking about two stadiums, likely, not just one, and the same time frame. That's they're both
you know, right after we build an airport,
right? And so that's I mean, that's we've talked about that a couple times, that the old airport, or the current airport now, but the what will be the old airport and Kemper Arena and Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium. I mean, just the way things worked out, they were all built around the same time frame, and so naturally they're all aging out at the same time frame. And so now you have the Chiefs and the Royals, who both would, we assume, would like new stadiums. We know the Royals for sure do. The Chiefs have been a little murkier, but we assume they want
to. They're just starting to leave the state. I think it's pretty clear they'd like new stadium.
I mean, yeah,
they're starting to leave.
Yeah, they're flirting for sure.
And not such vague threat by Mark Donovan, right? I mean,
they're flirting. I mean, they would obviously push back and say we never threatened. But yes, we all know what they're putting out there and why they're putting it out there. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about not just one $1.2 billion stadium. You're talking about two of them. Of public money, of having a huge portion, and that's the question: can you do that? Now, I'll say this about the Chiefs location. We can get to that in a second, because that's really interesting. Like on the Chiefs front, if you're the state of Missouri, are you going to lose a second NFL team? And I still think the answer to that is no. And I understand there's a lot of rumors about the Hunt family and do they own land out by the Legends and things like that? But is the state of Missouri not going to come up with a very competitive, unfortunately, publicly funded.
That's how New York did it.
Right, $600 million or so is what the state of New York is giving to the Buffalo Bills. But again, the problem is, it's not just one stadium. It's two stadiums that public money is going to be needed to be used for these stadiums. Because unfortunately, unless you're the Golden State Warriors, who privately funded their arena out there, most of these are all public and private partnerships, as that's the phrase we all like to use now.
It's the softest way of saying we'd like all your money, please.
Wait, what's the phrase?
Public-private partnership. We're not partners in anything. I get $0. I just give you money. What am I a partner in?
Pride.
I get to look at it. Oh, it's nice.
You get to go to it. You get like even discounted tickets or anything?
No. I don't know any of this works.
You get, if you're a Jackson County resident, we'll let you buy the tickets
first,
a few hours before everybody else. Early. That's your reward. You can, a few hours before everybody else, Nick, if you live in Jackson County, you know?
But it is so nice. Like, I also understand that this is going to happen. And I'm not against the, like, oh, a stadium downtown. That could probably be cool. And I love Kauffman, but, like, I see the appeal of it. They've got till 2026. Well, if they're really trying to hit that timeline, we're going to start hearing more and more about this possible stadium deal coming quickly.
This financial issues of the two stadiums at once is why the Kansas conversation continues to come up on.
Yep. And why
the Chiefs
dedicated
potentially
money
could move. And yeah, like I think that's been overblown. The Hunt Fund, as some have called it, involved in the whole sports wagering bill in Kansas, which was officially signed by the governor last week. Like, the amount of money from that, I don't think is going to be the swing for why the Chiefs, if they ever did, go to the Kansas side. It's that fund is going to be maybe $50 million over 10 years. The stadium's over $1 billion. The public money would be way over, would be $400, $500, $600 million. So $50 million is not moving the needle. I know it's a fun talking point. If the Chiefs were to move to Kansas, they're not going to say, it's because of that $50 million from that sports wagering fund.
But this is
that's
to the
not
point
how,
of,
that's not what it's going to be.
You're saying, Nick, like, does it change anything? Why do they do these things? This is why. Like, I mean, legitimately, this is a useless fund. Let me just be very clear on this end of it. It's not going to attract a team there. They could just give it to, like, teachers or firefighters or something important. And instead, they're just going to put a slush fund to the side of money to try to lure a team they can't get. But it's big money. There must still be money in it. Otherwise, people wouldn't still be building these massive stadiums, you know, like how it is.
What if all the cities and what if all the major cities, the top 50 cities in America, got together?
Like a union?
They formed a union and agreed, we're not ever going to vote yes on publicly funded
stadiums.
It'd be the
Des Moines Chiefs. Somebody would pay it.
Des Moines? You think Des Moines got that kind of cash?
I was just trying to think of a city that wasn't in the top 50 that felt like the 100th biggest city or something. I didn't know.
I don't think Des Moines got that kind of cash laying around. And they wouldn't do that. The Chiefs are not moving to Des Moines.
That's fair. That's true.
Come on, it's time we put our foot down.
That's not going to happen.
You should run for your school board.
I got to run for school board first.
No publicly funded stadiums.
No public.
They're going to say, Mr. Tapp, this doesn't really apply
to it. After your question last week about parenting, I don't know if that's good. Now, what do you have today? Because you said you need the texter's help. Last week, I don't know, people are probably very cautious about your parenting on the issues of education because...
I asked, and I followed the... Well, I will tomorrow.
You're not going to cheat. You're not going to try to steal taxpayer money from those residents in the school district?
Too far. Okay. I'm going to play it above board tomorrow, as we've established. But I have another question about parenting. So my kid is in the soccer team, as you well know. Scored 2 goals yesterday,
nice.
By the way.
Okay.
Biggest game ever.
All right.
Biggest game ever for Ruby. Huge.
In spite of you coaching her, this
team
is incredible.
Probably won 30-5. It was not a particularly close effort. But.
Beat down.
But after the game, as you well know, a long established kid tradition is snacks. There's always snacks after a game. What do you guys remember snacks being? Post-kid soccer, post-kid baseball.
Little orange slices, like a Capri Sun. That was the go-to.
Do you guys
for a
remember
while.
Mondos?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I remember like Mondos and then some sort of, Kool-Aid Jammers, mm-hmm. But like a Mondo and then some sort of Little Debbie snack.
Yeah, some mini Gatorades. You know?
So, fruit gushers.
The gushers. They're cold too because they put them in the cooler with the drinks.
They
drink.
All stick together.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the question I have is, do I take this to an absurdist level to make a point? Do I have to follow what has been now the precedent set, or can I go back to normal phase? Okay, let me explain. What has happened here, I believe, is an increased number of things in my child's snack throughout this entire soccer season, and it hit its absurdity point yesterday. Yesterday, for each individual kid, let me be clear, this wasn't like a selection thing. For each individual kid, this is what was in Ruby's bag post-game as a post-game snack. It had 1 bag of Cheetos, like, you know, the not the smallest size, like the middle, like, you know, the like the fun size bag, like the slightly bigger one, an entire regular size bag of gummy worms, a full granola bar, a Gatorade, a Capri Sun, a toy beach ball, a toy ring, and a necklace, like a toy, like a, you know, like a cheapy plastic necklace. That was in 1 bag post game. What am I supposed to do here? I'm on snack duty next week. This was just given to all these kids.
Well,
there are now expectations for the kids.
Cody.
To probably get, what's my play?
I think you win like 30-4. You get whatever you want.
I think.
You have earned a king's ransom.
I think that I take it to an absurd point and I bake them each an individual cake. Like each cake is their own cake. Like, what are we doing here?
Like, just you're like now catering.
Full size cake. Barbecue rib
platter.
That's like how far am I supposed to take?
Bring a smoker out. Like be cooking the food during the game.
I think you just go with the mini Gatorades and just some like fruit snacks and some string cheese and be done with it.
Do I look like a jerk?
No, you don't.
Did you see what just? Did I tell you what just occurred?
Chipino. Get everybody sick.
The text line
get everybody
says
sick.
You can make everybody a bowl of Chipino.
Oh, God. Could you imagine? And a 90-degree weather after. Oh, my gosh.
For a bunch of kids.
90-degree weather after the
like
game.
A rock in your stomach.
90-degree weather after the game. Hot Chipino. We don't even know. You don't even know what allergies all the kids have either. You want to talk about having a disaster on your hands there.
No, you get them. You go with the Capri Sun and a snack. That's it. Like, no toy. When you got to beach ball, like props, that is absolutely.
There's some good suggestions.
She's also received a soccer keychain. One time she received like a, there's all kinds of stuff, man. There's now trinkets involved in this.
That's too much.
Someone says, Cody, for their kids' baseball team, they went to Sonic, got 15 half-price slushies. The kids loved it.
It's pretty strong.
Plain
like
bottle of water.
You can get creative like that. You know what I mean?
Plain bottle of water and a 6'10 keychain. Just go with that.
I've been coaching kids soccer for 5 years. All they need is a bottle of water, a granola bar, and a cup of applesauce. Like, it feels like there's an obvious, this is pretty much what this guy's describing. The guy's been coaching for 15 years. Like, that's pretty much what has been the methodology this entire time. But it's like, obviously, it's gotten beyond this.
What's your wife think about this?
There are only seven kids total. So maybe that's what's leading to the...
That is small.
Maybe that's what's leading to the, like, the heightened level of snack and toy. And it's their last game. Am I more?
Oh, okay. So you didn't mention that.
I should have mentioned that.
Wait, that was their last game?
This is the last game next week when I'm on snack duty.
But that still doesn't make
play
sense
a factor
because
here?
It wasn't their last game last week.
But now it's the last game.
But now it's the last game. I'm more obligated.
You got to go out with a bang. This has to be a big snack weekend after the game. What does your wife think?
What do you stand to gain? What do you stand to gain by preparing a feast for these children? Like, what do you get out of it? And what do they get out of it? Just knowing that if I show up to the game, I'm going to get $40 worth of food afterwards? It's ridiculous. No. They don't need that. They're kids. They're not going to stew on it all night. You get them a drink and a snack. Fine. That's it, man.
Someone says get a Sporting KC sign ball to the top scorer. Every kid gets a
if
sign.
If you really wanted to be that
signed
dude.
Soccer ball.
You really
someone
wanted to
rent an entire Kona ice truck and have it show up for the end of the game.
If you wanted to be that dude, you would show up with a thing of Pizza Hut pizzas.
Like personal pan pizzas?
No.
A couple large pizzas.
Just get a couple large pizzas. They'll love it. It's pizza. What kid does not love pizza?
That is a safe one, too.
It's pretty safe.
Honestly, like, I think kids...
Someone says get them scratcher tickets.
So you can show up with pizza, man. And kids view pizza in a way, like, you would view pizza as, like, that was the easy thing to do and the cheap thing to do.
And the kid's like, I can't believe you
They're
got
like,
us pizza.
I cannot believe...
What about Sunday cones?
Ruby's dad brought us pizza.
Sunday cones?
Multiple people are saying last game, Cody.
That would be powerful, right?
Yes.
That would hit with every kid.
I think it's a combination
of... Ice cream sandwiches?
Pizza, pizza and ice cream. Last game, they say last game of the year is pizza. So you go pizza and ice cream, and then everybody's happy.
Seriously.
Yeah, and someone's pointing out, like, what if you also brought the parent snack? Then you've outdone all of them.
The parents don't need a snack.
Cooler full of beer?
The parents don't need the snack. No, the parents don't need a snack for their kids' final soccer game of the year.
They're not doing anything. The kids are the ones out there working. The kids are the ones scoring, putting 30 goals on the board.
Is it a morning or afternoon game, do you know?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
Okay.
Yeah, noon or 1, I don't remember. But it's like, it's like afternoon.
Yeah, you don't need to get anything for
early
parents.
Afternoon. Nothing for the parents?
No.
No toys for the kids. We're in agreement.
No, get toys for the parents, though. Get them some keychains and some slinkies.
I'll get them some 16 koozies. Just anything we can find downstairs.
I can't believe you asked and then asked again. Are you sure? Are you sure the parents don't deserve a treat? Yes, they're adults. I think they'll be okay. I gotta imagine that drive home, like husband and wife, are just like.
Someone says last
can't believe
game
Cody didn't
the snack
get us
situation.
Anything.
So they should have a pizza party somewhere at the end of the season, but that's already not been arranged. So that's clearly not going to happen.
You could do it. Bring the pizza party to them. It would cost you like
mini fireball shots. For
I mean, at that point, I gotta get
said
a hot bag.
You said
there
are seven. You said there are seven kids on the team.
Seven kids total, and one was absent last week.
Two pizzas, and you might have leftovers.
Do you think 3 to be safe?
For 7 kids?
Well, I was just like, I don't know if a parent wants a slice.
Like,
I
have a 5-year-old niece. She will eat one slice of pizza, maybe. She'll maybe finish that slice of pizza.
So I have a 3.5-year-old and a 5-year-old, as you know. The 3.5-year-old will eat 2 bites of it. Ruby will eat 3 pieces. Kids are weird, man.
What?
I don't know. They're just, the kids are different. It's weird. Someone says it's clear that lady's trying to be the Karen of snacks. She was being generous with the snacks. It felt over. The full size bag of gummy worms was threw me off. Ruby's like, hey, can we open these? I'm like, there's like 50.
You know what?
Gummy
I don't even think
here.
that parent was trying to do anything. I think that parent was so clueless on what they were supposed to do. Like, I think this is normal.
What was the week before? What do you remember?
There was also some sort of toy related to that. There was again a trinket. And that one had several snacks. I would say maybe one less snack than this one. Still the Gatorade, probably one less snack, but there was still a candy element, right? Like some sort of that, and also a savory snack, and also like a granola bar. There's at least three snacks per bag game this year.
Someone set the bar way too high at the beginning of the season as well.
Probably. Yeah. We signed up kind of late because like we got the email and didn't see it in time. So we're dead last. So we got the, I guess not really the benefit now of seeing what everyone did before. And this most recent one was at such a level, I don't know how to combat it.
Okay.
Don't know what I'm supposed
to do. Let us know how it goes. On Friday, we need a decision on what you're doing.
I think my bet is he's going to overdo it. I think you're going to be...
I like the pizza idea.
You're going to get nervous and then you're going to overdo it.
It is the last game. The pizza seems like the easiest way to make everybody happy.
Get them all Cody and Gold t-shirts.
Bring some of those in.
For the kids? The kids or the parents? Who am I getting the Cody and Gold?
This is a long build. Yeah, we're building our listeners from the very beginning, early stages. It's a long build. Process for that. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending and the firing today for the Royals when it comes to their hitting coach and what it actually means from the organization.
You're listening to Cody and Gold.
I'm not interested either. That's more just, I don't want to put a foot in my mouth.
610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, also just a heads up, we'll be giving away a copy of MLB The Show 22 here in just a few minutes as well. But number one has to do with the Royals. One, they're back in town tonight, back at Kauffman Stadium. White Sox are here. Johnny Cueto, old friend, actually just had his AAA contract purchased by the White Sox. He's going to face off against Brad Keller of the Royals. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock. Also, the Royals making announcement today. They have fired or parted ways with hitting coach Terry Bradshaw. Of course, this Royals offense has been abysmal for the first 11 series of the 2022 season.
Either of those things are breaking news. Again, we're going to talk about it here in just a minute, but it's a move. They had to prove that they were willing to move in any kind of direction that showed like they cared that the season started the way it did. The Terry Bradshaw move certainly is one of those things, but it brings up questions about Cal Eldred and some of the players who are also underperforming. Next up on What's Trending, we've got our finals series set, Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Boston and Miami will start tomorrow at 7:30, and then on Wednesday we'll get Dallas and Golden State. It is nice. This is about as open as it's been in the NBA in a long time. Think about it. 3 and 4 seed are the two who got through in the Western Conference. It is the 1 and 2 seeds on the Eastern Conference side, but by no means were either of those teams as thought to be the dominant ends on the Eastern Conference side. It was a complete blowout in those Game 7s last night, though. Neither of those games for the Eastern Conference, they're not even close. Dallas destroyed Phoenix, and the Boston game also never in competition.
Yeah, it was Game 7 Sunday. There were multiple Game 7s in hockey as well, and in the NBA. The hockey ones were way more competitive than what we saw in the NBA. I just couldn't get over the fact that Luka at one point had more points than the Suns did in the second half. Luka had 30 in the third quarter, and the Suns still were stuck on 27 at one point. It was just a complete butt-whooping by the Dallas Mavericks. Next up on What's Trending, Melvin Ingram, it looked like, was still likely to come back to Kansas City. Not the case. He is signing with the Miami Dolphins. The Chiefs had put a tender on him, which means the Chiefs will get a comp pick back. It'll count against the comp formula for next year. But a veteran that could have come in and helped this defense, I think it now puts even more emphasis once again. Still need to bring in a veteran pass rusher before the start of the 2022 season.
Yeah, they need somebody. Anybody, as a matter of fact. Next up on What's Trending, Ian Rappaport doubling down on the Baker Mayfield thing, because listen to this. Deshaun Watson finally going to meet with the NFL in Texas this week. That according to multiple reports. Ian Rappaport was on with Pat McAfee today. Still continuing to suggest the idea that if it's a long suspension for Deshaun Watson, there's a chance that Baker Mayfield would start a majority of the year for the Cleveland Browns. I want to talk about this more later in the week. That seems absurd to me. If you're Baker, why would you agree to that?
Yeah. Well,
maybe. They do need to figure out the Deshaun thing. It's been maybe way too long in the NFL. It's ugly.
Baker's probably realizing as well, like, the options aren't out there. I think you're going to be a little more patient suddenly if that's the case.
Show 10 games on a good roster, how good you can be, and then try to go from there.
How awkward, though.
I cannot think of a more awkward situation I've ever experienced in sports. Like, I don't remember a situation that's more painful. Because, like, even when they draft a guy, there's at least... It's less awkward than this. This is very different.
Yes. 100%.
They drafted you. Like, there's no mystery in will they be your replacement. They are definitively your replacement. They gave the guy $240 million guaranteed and didn't pay you.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. It's also your chance right now to win a copy of MLB The Show 22. Today it is for Xbox One. Of course, it's now available on all platforms, including Nintendo Switch for the first time. But we will take the 10th caller to 913-576-7610. Nick will get you hooked up there. A copy of MLB The Show 22 for Xbox One. So let's get back to the Terry Bradshaw news, though. Terry Bradshaw fired by the Royals hitting coach. And I think you said it well there during What's Trending. Fans are tired, clearly, of the excuses. And for the first time here this season, a team that's 12-20, a team that has been in the basement of offense for the first 11 series, you finally saw for the first time publicly that it's not acceptable.
Correct.
And this was the first time publicly that it's really been said and a move has been shown. You can say, well, we know guys got to start hitting. But what's the consequence if you don't? Well, we unfortunately for Terry Bradshaw, he's at this point in time the consequence. He lost his job because of performance from that offense. And you're right. We know the pitching hasn't performed at an acceptable level either. So to me, this sends a message to everybody in the clubhouse, and it sends a message to Cal Eldridge and others that this isn't acceptable. We'll see what this causes performance-wise to happen over the next week or two. We'll also see if it means that another move is to come. And at one point, when does it involve players? This is the first move, and it's costing a coach his job. At one point, does it cost a player his job as well?
The problem, and yeah, I mean, that's next up, because if they continue not to hit, then they're not going to have the hitting coach to blame anymore. The promotion of Alex Umwald, I really do like. Everyone in the organization loves him. Most of the young hitters have already worked with him. He spearheaded their entire organizational philosophical difference in the approach in that they teach hitting. And we're too early in the results to know if it's worked, because really the only couple of guys who have come up who went fully through that system are Bobby Wood Jr., MJ Melendez, and they've barely been up, so we don't really know. But most people around baseball really respect him. They don't know if he's going to be a GM or if he's going to be on the player development side forever, whatever it is, but they largely agree that he's really smart. He knows what he's doing in baseball, and he's the guy who catches everything. He is reportedly the guy who caught even the Jose Bautista tick in his throwing motion that eventually got Lorenzo Cain to score in the important times in which they were good back in 2015. But here's the only problem with the Bradshaw thing, because it brings more questions. I like it because it's a sign that you're serious, that the losing is unacceptable, and that what I have been complaining about for years, the offense is unacceptable and has been for years. If you just bear out where the offense is ranked over the last 2 years, you know, 29th in on-base percentage, 29th in batting, you know, whatever it is, all the stats that they rank near the bottom of the league, and you can make that exact same argument for the pitching staff. So when you fire a guy like Terry Bradshaw, you are opening up fans' options to say, and now Cal Eldred? And there are always complications. Like, him and Matheny played together in St. Louis. And I don't think that that doesn't factor into things. Of course it does. They have a relationship. But when you, and not that him and Terry Bradshaw didn't, but like,
no, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Bradshaw himself. It's just between that and J.J. Piccolo's comments, they needed to do something to say what you said. Like, we mean it. We're not just coming, you know, J.J. came on the show last week and said, you know, we're not where we thought we were going to be. And people get tired of it because, and I thought J.J. was really good last week. I helped, you know, like I didn't mind some of his explanations of things. But people get tired of it because they're like, oh, you're not where you thought it was going to be, huh? What did you think it was going to be? But there have been no accountability. This is accountability from someone.
The quote today from Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo in the release announcing the parting of ways with Terry Bradshaw is, quote, baseball is constantly shifting. We have to continue to self-evaluate to make sure we're giving our players everything they need to be successful at the highest levels of baseball. He went on to say, our results so far haven't matched what we're capable of, and we all share responsibility in that. I'm sure Vern will talk more about this during his on-deck show tonight as well out of Kauffman Stadium don't know. Mike,
he'll be on the drive today at 3.
He'll be on the drive at 3 as well. Nice night out at the K tonight. I think I might stop by tonight. Might stop by.
Wow.
Cody? We don't have a show tomorrow.
We don't have a show tomorrow.
The Breaking News Center would be if you were coming, Nick. Then there would be really, if we got you to come along.
Have you been to a Royals game yet this year?
Come on over. We don't have a show tomorrow,
no,
Nick.
I have not. No,
what
not.
Was the last year you attended a Royals game?
Last year.
Okay.
Got just free tickets through work. I like many great, hardworking Kansas Cityans. I don't want to spend my hard-earned money on that product right now.
What if they get back to 500? If they get back to 500, then will you guarantee your talk. Attendance?
But isn't that how, yeah, isn't can we that get, how can it we should get work,
a guarantee?
Though?
Can we get a guarantee from you?
Absolutely.
If they somehow get to 500 again.
That's an extra
okay. I will pay my own money for tickets. But isn't that how it should work? Like, you go to games when you have something worth watching?
Sounds nice, in theory.
Because I'm like, unless
I have been
you guys...
a lifelong Royals fan, so the number of games I have attended as either a fan or a media member, that the quality of the play was good versus good.
How many games have you attended where they were above 500?
In my life?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you do that exercise.
I mean, I went to quite a few in 14 and 15, so that helps. But I also used to go to like 30 games a year when I was like a teenager. And those were all...
30?
Yeah. I mean, we used to take the bus and stuff. You can get in there for like $5, man. You can go for 20 games a year, 30 games a year for $5. I like baseball. I also attended as a media member 81 games, and I can't imagine in a year that they won 58. I don't know how many of those games they were above 500, but not enough.
Yeah, it's like...
10 to 1 ratio of games I've attended at Kauffman Stadium in which they were above 500 probably versus below?
No, yeah, when I was when I was in junior high, we would go out to games, and it was fun to go out there, but, you know, I wasn't paying for tickets, and I wasn't driving. So now that I got to drive my happy ass, you know, 45 minutes out to Kauffman both ways, and I can't even catch a buzz while I'm there because I got to drive back home, and they're probably going to lose.
We got to get you back in this city, though. That's why my...
Yeah, that's why
I am moving this summer.
That's you. I mean, Cody still have offered... He's still offered up the... Off the basement. It's giving you a discount.
I have decided I would be willing to do a trial run.
What's a trial run of living with someone look like? A few days?
Well, I would say hypothetically we could give it a week, but I'm not promising I would go with a full week. Like if I decide...
If you make it a week, you're pretty much just living with me at that point.
Not necessarily.
Because I would think if you're not going to make it, you wouldn't make it by like day 2 or 3.
I think there's a good chance after 48 hours, I'd say I'm not doing this anymore.
Are you going to join us on June 8th, though? Because, again, Wednesday, June 8th, is your chance to watch the Royals with us. You have till the end of the month to go to participating locations and look for that QR code near Boulevard Wheat Signs, and we'll be giving away some tickets for the Wednesday day game. That's June 8th out at Kauffman Stadium.
Remember, Nick said he was going to come.
Yeah, are you going
to? Just as long as they got to 9 wins since that time, and they have won several games during that time. I think they've won 4 games or 3 games
they only
since
need,
Nick made that question. So I think we're good to go.
Okay.
So how many more wins until then?
They just need 5 wins in like 3 weeks. They're going to get 5 wins in that amount of time.
Come on. Some of the locations that you can go to in the KC area, Johnny's Tavern, for example, the Brass Rail, International Tap House, Westport Ale House, the other place, the bar, Talk of the Town, full list. Up on 610sports.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Royals on June 8th. Must be 21-10.
If they hit really well, like, we don't think it was... I'm not going to be like, they did it. It was Terry Bradshaw. That was really the problem here. Their problem is still philosophical or organizational or team-building-wise because they have been more attracted to players who don't hit in the traditional way that most major league hitters hit now. Now, they've been training their guys to hit differently at the minor league level, but they do still come up here and pitch the fact that they're going to care about defense and speed and things that have value to major league teams, but don't have as much value as the Royals have put on it. We were talking about the stadium earlier and the possibility that they're trying to get into one in 2026. Like, I'm not even being sarcastic. They don't have to build the Cincinnati Red Stadium. But I do want them to build a normal proportion stadium so that this conversation dies. Because then there'll be no more excuses left of, we have to do it different. Because I think that that's unfortunately been a crutch for a team that has never developed hitting in the way that other teams do or at the success rate that other teams do.
Well, this move is a crutch. This move is a crutch. And it's not just a Royals crutch.
Yeah, it's been their hitting crutch for 5 years.
And this is why I don't like the glorification of GMs, whether we're talking about Dayton Moore, Brett Veach, anybody you want to talk about anywhere. Like, oh, this guy's like, when you fire a guy like this, when you fire Terry Bradshaw, and I'm not saying that he was great at his job, but you fire him, it completely removes any accountability, even though you can hide behind the veil of, well, this is just, it's not up to our standards. We think we should be performing better. It still removes any accountability from the people who are actually making decisions and putting this team together.
Or left him in charge for 5 years for an offense that was in the bottom five for years. You don't realize you could have gotten 2 years into this, been a bottom ranked offense this entire time. But Nick, that was my whole complaint. We were talking about this team early in the season. They were struggling. And legitimately, my frustration still is, I am so glad they changed the way they're approaching hitting. It appears, by most Major League standards, to be on par now. They teach hitting the way everyone else does. And the rest of Major League Baseball respects their minor league approach to hitting. Why did it take you 10 years?
Sure.
You were awful for 10 years at hitting, and you're like, no. You know what? Backspin creates velocity. You're like, no one does it that way. That's just you. Nobody wants backspin on a ball. And they like, and then players who hit okay for their organization did okay, felt like they could have done better, and it felt like they never took advantage of it. To this day, I think Eric Hosmer could have and should have been a better major league hitter. He's been a fine one. I think he had the tools and ability to be much better had they just taught him to hit the way he should have been taught to hit. And they took a different approach, and because of that, he didn't become the power hitter I thought he was supposed to be. He never developed into this 35 home run guy consistently. And, like, this is where it all kind of cycles down to. Nick, you're not wrong, because now it's like, and then if they fire Bradshaw, they'll be like, oh, that's, if they were to get rid of Eldred, it'd be the same thing. But the inevitable end is that we're in year 16 of Dayton Moore, and I need more winning than this. You've had 3 winning seasons in 15 years. The ratio has to start getting better now. If I give you the pass for the first 6 years because you took over the worst run organization in baseball and really just count it since you started being good in 2012 or 13, it's still 3 winning seasons. It's in 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years if I just erase the past. But now we're, 7 years into this gold, and they're still not winning enough. That's the frustration.
Well, I think there's clearly been some more pressure put on the front office than in a while, like legitimate pressure than we've seen in a while. Which, as there should be, for some of the reasons you just laid out there, Cody. I think there's clearly, whether it's in the media or with fans,
quite as untouchable.
There's definitely been more out there. And we'll see. You're right. I mean, this is kind of what we joked. I know when we were talking about like Ryan O'Hearn or other guys and moves, nobody actually thinks that Terry Bradshaw being fired today means instant results. Just like I've always told you, like, we can complain about Ryan O'Hearn. It doesn't solve the other 6 guys that can't hit at all right now, right? I mean, so there's no. Much bigger issues at play, but it's finally something this year, a message being sent to the fans that we acknowledge that this isn't acceptable. Before, for the first 11 series, there was none of that. And that's why today, I don't know if it makes you feel any better necessarily. Nobody wants to see anybody lose a job, but at least it's like, all right, you're listening. And it's not acceptable to you guys either.
And you know this, they're loyal. That's why Terry Bradshaw's been the hitting coach for 5 years. Most teams wouldn't have stuck with it this long, or Cal. They've both been in the job for 5 years and have, like, as a
you
team.
You say that as, like, I know you're not saying it this way, but, like, that's not a compliment.
No.
To be loyal and just be like, we're committed to you. Even though we suck and nothing you're doing is working, we believe in you because we're nice.
I really think it's a mental hang-up because it worked. Being loyal worked for Dayton. Nick, it's like you're betting on PGA. It's worked for you as a system, so you go back to it. Like, being loyal...
No pressure this week, Nick.
Being loyal worked for Dayton Moore. It worked for Moustakas and Hosmer and Ventura and the pitching staff. It worked. But it's not working this time. Like, that's where you, like, the loyalty is going to have to, like, you're going to have to find... You're going to be less loyal and be more transactional, which is something he's talked about. Probably this time, because the last time it worked doesn't mean it's going to work this time. That's not the way. That's just not simply how it goes.
So tomorrow is our swap day, the makeup day with Carrington and the guys on the drive. Remember, we helped him out during March Madness. They were supposed to do our show a couple weeks ago. There was a conflict there. So tomorrow, Carrington and Rob are going to be in from 10 to noon. And
are they going to do our show?
I don't know what they're going to do. We want to remind you, though, make sure, because Carrington's a really big fan of our whole daddy promotion that we did. So
like
tomorrow,
nobody's been a bigger supporter of the daddy campaign than Carrington.
So whether you want to text in tomorrow while he's on the air, see daddy, or just, hey, daddy, nice to hear your voice, make sure you let Carrington know.
More than normal.
Yeah, just make sure you let Carrington know that you really appreciate him. So Robbins and CDOT are going to be in for us tomorrow from 10 to noon. And then we're back at it fully on Wednesday. But hope everybody has a good rest of Monday. We'll also find out if anybody else wants to text Nick some advice of how to actually act at an airport. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show this week as well. We'll talk to you guys Wednesday.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. Tune into the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
So,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.